We carry on reading with 1 Corinthians 2, but today we just focus on just one single verse, which is a follow-through of last week's lesson. And we read this. This is a text worth memorizing. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Now, this is 1 Corinthians 2, 9. Now, we have to look at these things here very carefully, right? Now, we know that there are certain lives which are greatly blessed, obviously. In this case here, the example of Paul's life, the life of the Apostle Paul, was absolutely greatly blessed. And the blessing in his life is seen in the most wonderful ways spiritually, right? This is the one person who has been blessed with thoughts, with understanding, with revelation that is astonishing. He will write in Romans 4 about Abraham, mentioned in the book of Genesis. But if you were to read Genesis many times through, you still cannot come out with the faith that Paul saw in Abraham. That's a kind of insight, a kind of depth that speaks of being blessed spiritually. That's very important. So, now, we have an outstanding example, one whom God has blessed significantly. And our challenge is to ask ourselves, can we seek such blessings too? Will this be available to us? And this is the challenge and the significance of this particular text in 1 Corinthians 2, 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man. Right? The things which God has prepared for those who love him. Now, first and foremost, we talk about those who love him. And this is a very, very special text to read, because it speaks of the tremendous grace of God. It tells us about how God will display his love when we learn how to truly love him. And Paul argues, and he cites from the scriptures on this matter, which we will look into very shortly. Eye, ear, heart, they have not been able to fathom to what extent God will give understanding and how God will bless the way he does. Right? We can cite many examples besides Paul. Now, this particular text that Paul has written in 1 Corinthians 2:9 is best understood in the light of two particular texts in the Old Testament, which we are going to study in comparison. First, the Isaiah 64:4 text. Right? So this is what we call an adaptation of a prophecy. Right? Why do we call it adaptation? Let's consider this very carefully. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, nor has the eye seen any God besides you, who acts for the one who waits for him. Now, we call this an adaptation because we don't see a prophecy, but rather a profound truth. A profound truth that borrows the words, since the beginning of the world, men have not heard or not perceived by the ear. So we have an adaptation of the words used by Paul right over here. Right? Now, this is very important. First, it is about God acting. God acting for those who wait on him. Meaning to say that God alone can perform special deeds for those who wait on him. So if we were to read in a book of Psalms about David, of how many times he cried out to the Lord about waiting for the Lord, waiting upon the Lord, and how again and again God will hear and answer his prayers and deliver him. Now, these are words which are found commonly in the Old Testament, in the prophets and in the Psalms, right? But the adaptation of these prophetic words are very real in the language of Paul. Now, we go back to 1 Corinthians 2:9. I have not seen nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of men. Now, this is the adaptation of Isaiah 64:4 language. Right? Now, secondly, we have what we call an adaptation of a psalm. Right? Again, here we call it adaptation because we don't have a direct prophecy, but a statement of what God can and will do out of his goodness for those who fear him. Now, one is those who will wait for him in the language of Isaiah. In Psalm 31, it is a language of those who trust in him and fear him. In the language of 1 Corinthians 2:9, it is those who love him. So we have three different aspects. They are very closely related, but they are three different aspects. One of waiting, one of trusting or fearing him, three of love for him. That's why we call this adaptations. The same concept is there. There is God who desires to bless richly. God will endow with knowledge, with wisdom, with understanding. But each particular writer will focus on a different aspect. Isaiah will focus on the need to wait upon him, because this is Isaiah's context. This is Isaiah's favorite reference, to wait upon the Lord again and again throughout a lot of Isaiah 40, those who wait on him. So the concept of waiting is very strong in Isaiah, and it is not surprising when he wrote 64:4 about those who wait upon him, they will not wait in vain, because God will act for those who wait upon him. Right? In the Psalms, the psalmist would very often talk about how those who fear the Lord, those who will trust in the Lord, God will deliver them. God will empower them. God will cause them to escape all the traps laid for them by wicked ones, and how God will deliver them. Right? In this case here, the focus is on God's goodness. And it's important. So who are those who really will benefit from God's goodness? One, those who fear him. Two, those who trust in him. Are all these aspects contradictory? No, they're not. They are complementary. So there is a waiting upon the Lord, there is a fearing of the Lord, there is a trust in the Lord, and Paul adds one more thing to those who love him. So if we were to look at the four special aspects of focus or foci, then we will see how the Lord will bless accordingly. So it's not enough for us to say, I love the Lord, therefore the Lord will reveal. Because there are three other aspects. One, have we waited upon the Lord? We may love the Lord, but if we are impatient, well, we'll have to wait a little longer until we learn patience. So let's say that we wait upon the Lord, we love him. Now the question is whether we actually trust in the Lord. Maybe we don't. Maybe there's unbelief. In this case here, again here, we will have to wait a while. But then, of course, the final additional aspect is that of fearing the Lord. And so we need to combine all four aspects of it all. So within 1 Corinthians 2:9 concept, the word love must therefore include all the other aspects. In Isaiah 64:4 and then in Psalm 31, verse 19. So we combine the fourfold aspects, then we will be able to understand better how God will actually reveal the things for those who have loved him. Now, first and foremost, all of these things have already been prepared by the Lord. Right? This is very important. That's written. God has prepared those things already, and that is important. Right? So God doesn't do anything just quickly as an afterthought. So Psalm 31, 19 tells us, which you have prepared. Same kind of language. So Paul adapted his language to things which God has prepared. But instead of using the word trust, he used the word love. Well, does it mean that we don't need a trust? No. You need to combine all three texts together. Isaiah 64, Psalm 31, 19, and then 1 Corinthians 2:9. Put them to all four together, and you'll be able to see the person who will be deemed by God as worthy of further revelation, worthy of further knowledge and understanding that God will reveal to him, right? What is our challenge as we read this particular text? One, never limit God by our experience. Very often we think that our experience is the most significant experience of all, but that's not true. That never is, right? Or we think that we have a lot of knowledge because we have got many years of experience. We got 10 years, 20, 30 years, 50 years, whatever level of experience, and we think that we know God. Worse, we speculate what God can do, what God will not do, and things like that. And a lot of these things, it will end up with speculation, and speculation leads to nothing. But worst of all is when we have unbelief. We don't think that God can reveal things or will reveal things, and that very unbelief hinders us from receiving the blessings that God has actually prepared already for us. Well, so this is where I would like to challenge us all to seriously consider all these aspects of our life. If we were to cultivate these four aspects of our life, we will go very, very, very far. And you look at the example of how David grew from a young shepherd boy to become a very, very astute, wise king. That is absolutely amazing, right? We don't have him asking the Lord for wisdom like Solomon did. So how did David understand how he could have become the good and great king that he was? Well, this is what we read in the Psalms, of how God has prepared all of these things to bless those who love him, those who honor him, those who trust him, those who wait upon him, those who love him. So if we were to combine these three texts together, and when we put them all together, we will begin with 1 Corinthians 2:9. So since we are looking at this, right, 1 Corinthians 2:9, we must check ourselves. Do we really love God? Now, this love for God is not an emotional feeling. This love for God must be, got to return to 1 John very carefully. It must begin, God first loved us. God gave his command to us that we are to love him and to love our brethren and to love the church. That's where this love comes from. It must be real. It must be proven. It must be tested and found to be genuine. That's the first thing, that love for God must be established. And the fruit of love will also be evident, Galatians 5:22. Right? Now, the other thing is that we have to ask ourselves, as we pray for knowledge, we pray for wisdom, we pray for understanding, we pray for revelation. Now, you cannot push God into a corner and say, answer now. You want to pray to the Lord for wisdom, for knowledge, understanding, you have to wait upon the Lord. That is vital. Without that waiting upon the Lord, you know, the Lord will just not reveal things because we determine, because we definitely plan for it, because we demand for it. It's not going to happen. One key aspect is to learn from the prophets how to wait upon the Lord. In waiting and trusting, the Lord tells Israel that you will be saved. Unfortunately, the people chose otherwise. Then, of course, there is that famous teaching from Moses downwards. We see the fear to learn to love the Lord, to learn to fear the Lord. Again, here we are told whether to fear the Lord and to love the Lord is all in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Again, chapter 10 of Deuteronomy, and we'll see the focus on the fear of the Lord as a very, very prominent teaching. And then, of course, in Psalm 31:19 as well, we take a look at how necessary it is for us to talk about our trust in him, those who trust in him. So we need to combine 1, 2, 3, 4 things together. Now, let's say that we are able to look at these four things together and bring before the Lord our heart's desire, and we desire a deeper understanding of God's word. Will that happen? Answer, yes. Will God do more than give us knowledge? Yes, we read about the things that God has prepared for those who love him. The things, in other words, these are the acts of God. There could be provision, there could be protection, it could be, there are things that I cannot even tell you what God can and will do. It's all up to God, right? All of these things, they have been there prepared for those who love the Lord, prepared. The great goodness has already been there. It exists because he is all in God. This is part of his attributes. And will God release those blessings to those who are truly his children, not just his children, but those who love him, those who trust him, those who fear him, those who wait upon him. The answer is absolutely. This must be our confidence and our joy. May our hearts be greatly challenged, be moved by this. Let's pray together. Our Father, we pray that this word we read about will be fulfilled in our lives. We pray that we will understand this at a deeper level. Help us to desire this knowledge and wisdom to come. Grant your grace and your strength, we pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.